Hey there, I'm so pumped to tell you about an amazing new community I've launched called Grief to Growth Circle Community. It's a space for people who are grieving to come together to support each other and for people who want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going to have those conversations, all the things we talk about on the podcast. So I invite you to join me at grieftogrowth.com/community to become part of this compassionate crew. The best part is 100% free. And you have access to me in addition to everybody else in the community. In fact, the podcast will be there so you can talk about the things we talk about in the podcast right there in the community. There's also some premium content if you want to go deeper in the work I'm doing, but mostly it's about building relationships and community and about sharing resources and supporting each other. So come on over and check it out. It's grieftogrowth.com/community. I'll see you inside.
Hi there. Welcome to Grief to Growth Podcast. Your host is Brian Smith, spiritual seeker, best-selling author, grief survivor, and life coach. Brian believes that the worst tragedies of life provide the greatest opportunity for growth. Brian says he was planted, not buried, and he is here to help you grow where you've been planted by the difficulties in life. In each episode, Brian and his guests will share what has helped them to survive and thrive. It is his sincere hope this episode helps you today.
Hey, everybody, this is Brian Smith with Grief to Growth, and I'm here today with Judith Hancox. Judy is a healing specialist. I'm going to read her bio. It's pretty long, so pay attention. Judith Hancox has been specializing in holistic trauma recovery for over three decades. She created Shiomi Therapy, utilizing EMDR, which stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing, energy psychology, and energy medicine techniques, to help accelerate our innate ability to process and heal from traumatic stress and PTSD. After the transition of Judy's godchild in 2013, she started focusing her practice on helping parents heal, and her sister is Irene Vouvalides, who is on the board of Helping Parents Heal. Judy is board certified by the American Academy of Experts in Traumatic Stress. She's an EMDRIA certified therapist and minister practitioner of Life Spirit Church. She co-produced Creating Healthy Boundaries with Bilateral Music and was the second artist in the EMDR community to create bilateral music for EMDR therapy. She published and produced Shiomi, The Way, Energy Correction Meditation, book and CD with Bilateral Bliss. That was in 2006. And she created the Energy Centering Meditation with Essential Oils. Her newest book is Grief, PTSD, and Transitioning Trauma, and that'll be available in 2020. Judy is certified in yoga, philosophy and meditation, gestalt therapy, EMDR, evolving thought field therapy, repair and reattachment grief therapy, guided afterlife connections, and past life regression therapy. She practices modalities that safely guide us to emotional stability and strength of spirit. So for more information about Judy and for testimonials, visit her at shiomi.com. And that's Shiomi is S as in Sam, H-I-O-M-E.com. JudithHancox.com, that's Judith, H-A-N-C-O-X.com, and WhiteWolfCenter.net. So with that, Judy, you've done a lot, you've certified a lot, but welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I guess that said it all, I can go now.
Yeah, really, that's quite a bio. But yeah, we had a little technical difficulty getting connected today. Hopefully the connection will remain stable enough to get through the interview, but I appreciate your persistence in sticking with this. So what I'd like to do today, Judy, is talk to you about how you can help people with trauma, especially trauma around grief. As you know, I'm very involved with helping parents heal, you know, along with your sister, Irene. A lot of my listeners are parents who have had children transition. I know you are very close to Carly, your goddaughter who transitioned in 2013, and that's kind of what started you in this whole thing with healing. So with parents that are going through the loss of a child, where do we start?
Where do we start? I guess we start with ourselves, you know, and everybody's at a different level in their life. Of where they are spiritually, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, it overcomes us. I mean, I've been practicing yoga seriously since 1980, and striving to, you know, be aware that I am not my body, I am not my mind, I am not my emotions. And yet, being human, you don't escape when a child transitions. Just knowing that intellectually it doesn't save you, you know, and it didn't save me. It helped. I have to say it helped because I had perspective and I could keep the affirmations and I could keep my awareness. But emotionally, you know, it threw me down the rabbit hole, and it helped me, I think, challenge me more than ever to walk the walk. That's what it did. Because, you know, when we're starting from a place where we have no beliefs in the afterlife and we just feel like, you know, we live and then it's over and we go to sleep and there's all darkness. I mean, there's all different ranges and realms of how people feel about the afterlife and their belief system. Mine was strong. And I think I helped my sister because she had faith in me as her older sister. And, you know, we had a relationship of helping each other and me helping my little sister through her little crises in life. But this was beyond, as you know, a little crisis in life. And although Carly was ill and there was that chance, there's always that chance, we both believed she would make it because she was a strong kid and she was vibrant and, you know, it wouldn't happen to us.
Yeah.
And it did. And so I began by, you know, with Irene, because she didn't know where Carly was and what was going on top of the loss. You know, so I think one of the helpful things I did was say, look, because it was helpful for me to say, she's in another place. She's alive. She's not dead. You can't kill energy. You know, her spirit, we know her spirit. I know she's there. You know, let's just pretend she's in Australia in the woods. You know, she doesn't have a phone. She can't communicate with us. And so, you know, she's there. She'll get in touch with us at some point and we'll get in touch with her because that is truth. And it did help her. It did help. And it helped me too. And from my standpoint, you know, Carly came to me pretty quickly in a dream, helping me erase a horrible memory of her body when I went to the hospital and saw her. I couldn't get that image. And that's what people who have trauma is an image, a feeling, and a thought that gets stuck in the body mind. It doesn't move. It's shock. Like you take a picture of the scene, you're in shock, and that shock gets locked into the nervous system. And I kind of consider it a hologram. It is a hologram. It's an image, a floating image that is stuck on our electromagnetic field, because we are body, mind, and spirit. And our energy field is all around us, you know, way beyond the way our arms can stretch. And with this huge globe of spirit and the body, I was talking this morning about our body being like a rock, you know, it's solid, it's heavy, it's rooted in the earth, and we think it's it, that's who we are. But when the ones we love and when we transition, we're going to drop this body. And this whole huge light is an orb that remains, you know, in another dimension. And we're able to communicate in those dimensions if our physical self in this earthly plane can raise our frequency, can raise our vibration, we'll be able to connect with our loved ones. But the trauma and the source of the pain and the grief and the anguish and all that emotional realm that was with me is still with me in a sense. I can detach from it a bit more now and I can elevate myself much more quickly now and stay at peace much more quickly just because of things I have learned to do, tools in my toolbox, you know, and my go-to of energy centering and my meditation and affirmations and the whole realm of bringing spirit to life, you know, really, really opening up our spirit to the truth. So for people who have no belief, that's hard because, you know, if if you can't see it, touch it, feel it, it doesn't exist, you know, in that realm. So people go through a long period of grief and possibly have a dream one night or have an experience of signs coming. And in my sister's case, it's not that she didn't believe, you know, but she didn't consider in her life with Carly and when everything was joyful and happy, it wasn't considered what happens when people transition. Never thought in her head. I shouldn't say never, but it wasn't something, you know, we talked about.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, something I want to tell you about today. My podcast platform, Buzzsprout, has recently made it easier for me to allow you to support me financially. Go to www.grieftogrowth.com/subscribe. That's grief2growth.com/subscribe. And once you're there, you can sign up to support me financially. Now, you can do it for as little as $3 a month or, of course, as much as you'd like. If you do that, you'll get access to bonus episodes, and you'll see those in the regular feed. They'll have a lock on them. But when you become a subscriber, you'll actually get access to your own private feed, and you'll be able to listen to the regular podcast along with the bonus podcast for the subscribers. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for sharing the podcast. And I want to thank those of you who support me financially. Have a great day, and on to the episode. Yeah, it's not something that's, especially as a parent, even though Irene did have some sort of kind of precognition or feeling, right, about Carly?
She did. Even when Carly was a little girl, she said that she had several thoughts. She even checked with a friend, if Carly ever passed away, am I still a mother? And she said that when Carly was about 3, and her friend was like, what are you talking about? Where's that coming from? Mm-hmm. But so she did have a premonition. And when Carly was ill, it's interesting. My husband, Bill, who's a minister also of life spirit and a Reiki master and a wonderful soul who studied yoga with me since 1980 in a spiritual community, he's very open to spirit. And Carly came to him, actually manifested within a couple, I think it was a couple months later. He was planting, she transitioned February 17th, and around April we were planting a tree for her. And he had a long day at work. He was exhausted and planted the tree when he came home, sitting on the back porch, just relaxing. And he said he saw her. He saw her like on a TV screen. He said it was energy, but it was her. And she was smiling and her blonde hair, you know, flowing. And she came to him to hug him, and he freaked out.
Yeah, of course.
he came right into her, and he just freaked out, and he didn't want to freak out, but he did. Mm-hmm. And it disappeared. Because that energy, you know, I think because he was tired, not thinking, mind clear, she found an opportunity to come. And thank you for planting the tree, maybe.
Wow.
And we called our friend, who's a medium, of course, and Carly had come to my friend, the medium, Nancy Weber, the day after she transitioned, a day or two after she transitioned. It wasn't long. I think it was a week. It was a week because I stayed with Irene for a week where she lived. And then I came home for a change before I went back to see her again. And that's when Nancy called me and said, Carly's here. She wants this. You know, she told us immediately about the foundation she wanted to do, the children that she was helping in the South. And, you know, I still have the scribble of everything she said, how she wanted the website set up. She wanted to be at the top and kind of with a ladder, the children climbing the ladder. And it was just amazing. It was coming straight from Carly. Mm. And it was kind of helpful when I went back to see Irene. I said, you know, Carly came through. Nancy told us that this is what she wants. And they did start the foundation, you know, get their energy going towards the foundation right away. So going back to Bill being open, receiving just her manifesting before him. I mean, that doesn't happen too often, I don't think. Yeah,
that's a very rare thing. But Carly is a very powerful person in spirit, and I've known Irene for a few years now, so I know some of these stories and how she drops in on people and how she makes it very clear what she wants, even from where she is now.
Right. So when I had my dream visit, I was in a sad state. I was crying before I went to bed. I was probably reading Suzanne Giesman's story about Carly.
Yeah, really.
And my vision, actually, that was the second dream visit. The first dream visit, I was meditating. I was sad, and I went to bed, and there was Carly, like in full beauty, and I went up to her and I touched her body and I could feel it, and I held her and I hugged her and I just kept saying, "Carly, Carly, but you're alive. You know, I can feel you." And I kept repeating, "Your body, your body." I didn't realize till later it was because of the trauma of seeing her lifeless physical body was stuck in my head. So she was showing me, no, I still got my body. And I just kept repeating that. I remember in this visit just saying, I can't believe you're here. You're here. You're actually here. And I can feel you. And then she stepped back and said, "Aunt Judy, your body is like an old shoe. It gets smelly and you take it off." And boom, she's gone.
Wow.
Yeah. And in yoga, there's a saying that your body's like an old coat. You take it. But I had never heard that one. And that is another saying that, you know, they do say. I hadn't heard that one. So the old shoe, Carly was into shoes. In fact, I acquired all her shoes because we have the same size.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And I've worn them out, all of them. So she loves shoes, and I could see that analogy coming from her.
Yeah.
So when you're open, it happens. The connections happen. When you're traumatized, it's very difficult to have connections.
Yeah. And that's a catch-22, Judy, because I've heard that before. And I remember when I first heard that, and I was just after Shayna transitioned, and I'm like, well, this isn't fair, right? I'm already in trauma. I'm already sad. And now you're telling me I can't connect because I'm sad. And so when a parent first hears that, it can even complicate the grief even more.
Right. It's not the sadness. I don't want to say it's the sadness. The human emotions. I was crying when I had the dream visit. I feel most of my connections come when I'm emotional. Emotions kind of resonate and they bring those intentions. So if you're resonating, you have a possibility of even connecting when you're resonating, even in sadness. Yeah. I'm not talking about sadness. I'm talking about the shock and the lock of a negative thought, like whether it's mad, you know, anger, whether it's sad and grief and anguish, whether it's scared, the fear or hurt, whatever the emotion is, the excitement, when it locks in and is stuck, it becomes like a shadow over the chakra. It's this cloud that blocks you from the sun. But the sun, you know, can vaporize any cloud. Yeah. Any cloud cannot get close to the sun. So that's the illusion. This whole world is an illusion. There's clouds of illusion all around us. When we sit in our center, when we sit in our soul, when we go to the pineal gland, the center of the brain, the seat of the soul, they call it, that is the beginning. You know, that is the opening, the doorway into the soul. So that's why meditation is so important. I would begin with meditation or concentration, because we can't meditate unless we can concentrate on one thing without our mind going all over the place. So there's a meditation where you just watch your thoughts, even if it's for a minute or two. There's a meditation where you can look at a candle flame, close your eyes and hold the candle flame and just hold the light. We're trying to focus on one thing, just one thing. You can hold your child in your mind's eye. Just hold their beautiful face and their connection to your heart. And just hold that. And if you can hold a thought for a certain amount of time, everyone's different, you can break through the mental plane into the spiritual plane. And it's a practice, you know, it's a practice. And if you do it, it will work because it's science. Yoga is not a religion, and yoga is not a, you know, a woo-woo, funny, weird thing that some people, crazy people do. Yoga is an ancient science, over 5,000 years, you know, around the time of, you know, Chinese medicine and acupuncture and acupressure and all those, the system of the energy, the system of our soul and how the energy moves through our body. These were all sciences that came from wise visionaries and actually people who had gifts of intuition and could see the energy. And they, that's how it started. People who were psychic and could see the energy, put it on paper and, you know, charted it for us in these charts. So if you do it, it will work. So the first step is with ourself, getting ourselves centered, getting ourselves peaceful. Shiomi therapy, a therapy I created from science, from different methods of therapeutic methods like EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's a bilateral brain stimulation because trauma, when we have our first fight or flight response, when we have our first shock that, and it shocks in and it locks in, that's a right hemispheric adrenal rush energy. It's all energy and there are no words. So you've experienced, I've experienced, we've all experienced, people who have children who transition, there's no words. No. Right. There's only this unbelievable feeling, undescribable, indescribable feeling. So those feelings come from the right hemisphere. And just like a baby who can't talk yet, when our child is all right brain and it's all emotional. They have, you know, we have to decipher what their needs are by their cry, you know, and you get to figure out as a parent, is it a hungry cry? Is it a, you know, is it a change of diaper cry? Is it a, you know, I want to be picked up cry? There will be different cries for different emotions and we can figure it out and respond to it. There's no words. But when the child can finally say, I want milk, and the words kick in, the picture of the milk and the words go together. So the pictures are in our right hemisphere and our left hemisphere, but only the feelings are in the right hemisphere and the words are only in the left hemisphere. So they don't meet. So how do they meet? You know, how do we process right, left? It's what we do as we get older and we learn words and we put the words to the meanings and we put the emotions to words and words to emotion, we're able to integrate it and process it. So it's like walking, right, left, right, left. When we're walking, that's bilateral brain stimulation. And a lot of people go for a walk when they're upset, not knowing why, you know, they pace or run or walk. But what's happening is, unconsciously, we're processing information. We're taking the emotion, we're putting words to it, we're integrating it, assimilating it, and digesting it. And then it's not trauma. It's just an emotional experience that we've processed and, you know, might not feel good, but in time it goes away.
Yeah.
Trauma is different. That, that flight or fight, that overwhelming, shocking experience locks in the adrenal, the flood of emotion, it all locks into this one hologram of a horrible scene that stays stuck in our body, in our mind, and in our spirit. It's just floating around and it's circulating through our system. And if somebody pushes the button or says something or we see something or smell something, say, it triggers it, it flags it, it goes into the right hemisphere where it's stuck. And we have an emotional reaction. And trauma does not go away in time. I think that's what every parent needs to know. With trauma and with, you know, with life disturbances, like I described, you spill the milk, you have a little car accident, you get upset, you start talking about it, processing it, and in time it goes away because you've digested it, and you don't even remember it a few weeks later, a few days later, stub your toe, whatever it is. But with trauma, it's this feeling that just stays with us. And without a little help from, I'm not saying, you know, you have to go to a psychologist or a social worker like myself, but these methods of healing trauma that come from professionals in the field are extremely helpful because they accelerate the healing process. They help you integrate. Any therapy that uses bilateral brain stimulation and energy work, which is Shiomi, I combined EMDR with energy psychology, and then using spiritual techniques and other methods and protocols that I put together to change the energy once we access where the trauma is, once we bring it up and process it bilaterally. There's still some feeling of energy that's stuck in our system. And that's how the energy work, whether it's pressure points or breathing, Reiki, whatever, can lift it. That helps. So what I've done is combine that. And in the end, I had a session this morning with someone whose child transitioned. And I'll talk about repair and reattachment grief therapy in a minute.
Okay.
With the therapy I do and combine with that actually now, the ending is a beautiful protocol I call the magic circle. You know, it comes from a American Indian, Native American ritual of a medicine wheel. And I've kind of combined Chinese medicine, American Indian medicine, you know, Western, Eastern, and it just kind of flowed. I really didn't say I sat down and wrote it, just I was guided to one thing after the other, first from yoga and asking for help and being guided to help others. That was my daily prayer and affirmation. Yes, I was guided to the spiritual community where I lived. Then I was guided to go for social work, my master's in social work. Then I was guided to go to Gestalt therapy, mm-hmm. which is not your normal therapy, not traditional, you know, cognitive behavioral, although I learned that too. But in Gestalt therapy, we're dealing with energy and drama and dynamics and moving energy. And so it fit really well into energy psychology when I learned that, because there's specific science, those pressure points that access areas of the body where the energy gets stuck in shock and it gets stuck and flooded with emotions that don't move. So these different methods open up those, it's like a dam. You know, we have streams of energy go running through our body and it gets dammed up with trauma and shock. And so these systems help open it up and let it flow. And in the end, you know, when we go to a trauma, we say on a 1 to 10, 0 to 10 scale, a Likert scale, it's a 10. I mean, everyone who's had a child who's left, it's a 10. It's a 100. You know, there's no words on it, but it's the highest it could possibly be. This morning in this 1 hour session, we went from a 10. No, actually she started at an 8. Her child was, I think, 5 years ago. So she had some time, but the trauma was still there.
Mm.
So not a 10, it was an 8, she said. And we brought it to a 0 in probably a half an hour.
Mm.
And there's this apex problem that happens with energy work. You say, it happened too fast. You know, I've had trauma for 5 years. It can't be over. You know, it's just because I was sitting with Judy. It's just because, you know, it was a beautiful day today, or, you know, it's going to come back. No, it's not going to come back. That's the beautiful thing. When the trauma goes to a 0 and gets cleared, it's done. But the protocol that I call the magic circle is this. We put the scene in a circle over the ocean, and it's a magnetic container that we put the thoughts, the feelings, everything that's stuck in the body mind. We give a little distance, you know, that scene, that horrible scene, we put in a circle over the ocean. And there's a reason it's over the ocean and over salt water. As we do the work and the trauma comes down from 8. She went from 8 to 3 to 0, really. That's fast. Mm-hmm. You know, it usually goes in increments of 2. Mm-hmm. And everybody's different.
Yeah.
But once the process is down to a 1, I know we can shift the circle. Can't do it unless it's a 1 or less. So she had everything in the circle. We shifted the circle by this protocol, this Native American protocol of blessing it in all directions, from the east to the south to the west to the north in a circle. And I don't want to get into all the what it means, but each part of the circle has a meaning. And in the end, we give it to God, really, or whatever source energy, whatever we feel the highest power is. But we cleanse it through the elements. We take the circle through the ocean to wash it and clean it, through the earth. We take it up again into the sky. We bless it in all four corners, and then we give it to God. And we ask for a vision that will replace the negative image. Mm. We're asking for a transmuting of the trauma. And as we can't destroy energy, and this fact actually happened, and we don't think we'll ever get the bad picture out of our head, but actually we can. And it gets shifted because it can't get destroyed. It's still going to be there. So that shifted to a beautiful image of her loved one. And I don't want to give confidence away. So it's just what I do all the time. And I can tell you, after hundreds, if not thousands, of sessions, every circle has transmuted to a different picture, not the same picture, because everybody's different. And their trauma that we give and cleanse and shift, when that comes back, it's a beautiful image. It's always a positive affirmation. And for this case, it's, you know, instead of they're gone, they're here. You know, he's gone, she's gone. No. Right here. And this person actually felt their loved one touch them for the first time. And
was this physically, an EMDR session, or?
It's a Shiomi session. So it's EMDR, mm-hmm. energy work, and the shifting protocol.
Okay.
What makes it Shiomi is the protocol at the end, the, you know, the magic circle protocol.
Okay.
That's typically Shiomi. And it's always shifting from a negative to a positive. It's always shifting from a negative to a positive. And then when the positive comes, we lock it in with the pressure points that we use in energy psychology. I learned evolving thought field therapy. So there's muscle testing involved. And instead of just doing a random protocol and a recipe for, you know, to release a trauma or to release a bad feeling, it actually muscle tests where is this energy stuck? And your body will respond yes or no. So you ask it a question. If I say, is it stuck in the lung meridian, and the muscle test is weak, then it's no, I'm not going to go for the lung meridian and waste time. Is it in the small intestine meridian? I get a yes. We work on the small intestine meridian. And so that's how it's done. I get feedback from the body, from the person's physical body, in muscle testing or dowsing. I can do that too. And so we get a fast, accelerated shifting of energy. It doesn't cure everything, right? Because we're still human, we're still going to have the emotions, and there's a little bit of time. But that apex problem we have to be aware of, because energy did shift. It needs to be respected and honored. And what comes back, you know, we've just asked the highest source for a vision to help us. Mm-hmm. We need to respect when that vision comes and honor it. And even though we lock it in and do eye movements and do different techniques to help it stay firm and real and truthful in the body, I doused for what's her home healing now, you know? She needs to keep practicing this. And this was, I can get 3 times a day for 7 days, 1 a day for 7 days. I get all kinds of answers by asking, but when people do it, it works. So you do the home healing, you do this meditation, this new meditation with your new vision, and you keep it in your mind's eye all the time. It helps you be more aware all the time of your connection with your loved one. And it happens, like this magic happens. Spirit manifests. Like today, it was just beautiful that this actual feeling, this touch from her loved one happened. And that was something only the person could tell me.
Right.
This, I don't know, you know, I'm just a guide, you know, I'm really just become a vehicle and a guide. So I want to get out of the way too, and just help people and guide them to their own place of peace. So there are different pressure points on our body that I learned in energy psychology that keep us moving in a positive direction. So that little six pressure point, you know, the energy, I used to call it energy correction meditation, because it was a brief correction that we would do in energy psychology for every client. If their energy wasn't moving in a positive direction, the session would not work. You could be hours and hours and hours, but if your mental body, the energy around you, is moving backwards or stuck, and that's what trauma does, it could stop your energy in its track. It could actually reverse meridians and vessels to go backwards. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And if we don't move it forward, no therapy is going to work. Not talking therapy, not energy psychology, not anything, not EMDR. It's very difficult. You know, it can work.
Yeah.
But it reverses again. So I like to just clear everything. And the energy correction meditation, now energy centering meditations with essential oils, is another whole venue, because the therapeutic grade essential oils that I use are so high in frequency that when you anoint, which means to pray, when you anoint with an oil, like it says in some of the scriptures to do, it's because it raises your frequency and helps you be more connected to your spirit. Wow. And helps you be on a higher plane.
Wow.
So it really lifts. Talk about lifting your spirit. It physically lifts your spirit. So that entered my realm of awareness in around 2005, mm-hmm. when I saw some miracles happen with anointing with these oils physically, you know, just led me onto that track of exploring them and then using them and combining them, which is the last piece of Shiomi therapy, is using essential oils, therapeutic grade, high grade, very, very high frequencies. And they assist in the healing process. They support and they assist every bodily function, every physical, emotional, and spiritual function that we have. They assist us. They're like God's medicine on the earth, because they all come from plants.
Yeah.
And
so Shiomi is a very comprehensive technique or system that you've developed based upon all these ancient and, you know, well-proven practices and put together in kind of a synergistic way. Do I have to be with you to go through a Shiomi session, or can you do it remotely?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm really excited to tell you about my latest ebook. It's four lessons that you can learn from the near-death experience without going through all the trouble of dying to learn them. I've been studying NDEs for several years now. I am completely convinced that not only are they 100% real, but that there's some very universal wisdom that we can get from the near-death experience. And I've distilled that down in this book into four short lessons. And I've also given you all the reasons why I believe that NDEs are absolutely real. So go to www.grieftogrowth.com/NDE lessons to pick it up for free. www.grief2growth.com/NDE lessons. I hope you enjoy it.
We just did it remotely this morning. I was speaking to someone in the South, and I'm in Vermont, as you saw before.
Yeah, I saw the snow outside. Yeah.
Lots of snow outside. But yes, it can be done remotely, only with permission. You know, no one can work remotely unless you have the permission of the person. Mm-hmm. And without permission, nothing's going to work, because it just a block goes up and, you know, it's just fake.
Yeah.
But with permission and an open heart and open mind, your energy and my energy connects. And so when I test or muscle test or douse, I'm getting the truth. And I'm always asking for our helpers, your helpers, my helpers, our guides, our spiritual mm-hmm. guides to be mm-hmm. here and to help guide us. And so that's where, you know, I say I let go and let the process flow, because there's guides guiding it. And there's not much thought going into like the magic circle, because I just guide you to do it, and you get your vision.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting process. It is. And I'm writing a piece on Shiomi therapy to teach other therapists, because even if they learn the protocol, you know, and do whatever you can to get that 10 to a 1, you know, once a clinician does whatever they do and they're all good at what they do, if you love your work and you've been doing it for a while, you know, we can all get help people assist them to get to a lower level of disturbance. Mm-hmm. The shifting of the energy is really important. And so EMDR is a wonderful method, the best, in my opinion, of helping to heal trauma.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things about EMDR.
Right? It does have side effects.
Oh, really?
It has some pretty heavy side effects. And in the hands of an untrained person, it can be dangerous. It's you want to go to someone who is experienced, has it under their belt, they do it all the time, and they know they can take you through the tunnel to the light.
What could the side effects be? I haven't heard that before.
Well, having experienced a side effect, working with someone who wasn't an expert in it, you can get stuck in a dark place and not be able to get out. And that's in the process of doing it. So these things, I believe, happen to me because I'm learning how to do it with others.
Yeah.
So what better way to learn the bad side effects but get them? So, yeah. You know, as a light worker, I put myself into all kinds of situations to get clobbered, to come out and say, oh, I learned something from that. So I was working with someone that was just a friend, and I trained her off the cuff because I wanted to work on something, and I figured I could do it, you know, and she could guide me a little. And it's in my book, in the story of Something Special. And I was doing bilateral, going to a very bad memory, and I got stuck. Mm-hmm. I got stuck at 8 years old in a bad place of horror, and she couldn't get me out. And finally said, Judy, I don't know what to do. Call on your higher power. Because she knew to say that. Call on your higher power.
Yeah.
Called on my higher power. That worked. That shifted the energy. And that was actually my first meeting in spirit with Shiomi, who is a real dolphin, believe it or not. Someone, a dolphin I met in the wilds of Maui, swimming in the ocean in Maui. That's a whole nother story, But she happens to be a power animal, I believe, one of my spirit guides. So she came to help me in that instance and, you know, just whacked my abuser into the sky, literally. And I just, everything shifted and I was able to get out of it. So one of the things that can happen is getting stuck in a trauma and not being able to get out. And it can last a long time until you get help. Side effects is mainly what I'm talking about. I give everyone the cautions of EMDR, which are you can feel dizzy, fuzzy for a while. You can feel out of sorts for a while. You can have emotional relapses for a while until it clears completely. You can just be exhausted. You could sleep for 2 days. I've had people say, I went home on a Friday night. I didn't get up, you know, barely got up Sunday. I was okay. So, you know, it takes a toll. So when I learned energy psychology, I combined it with EMDR because energy psychology is brilliant in how it clears the energy very quickly. So that's how I learned to go down to the low level where we could shift it. Or this is where repair and reattachment grief therapy comes in. It's a full day of EMDR. It's a full day of dual bilateral stimulation, sometimes three bilateral stimulations, like auditory, visual with your eyes, and tapping, holding tappers, tactile stimulation. Hmm. There's different types of bilateral stimulation that help you get into the right brain and process it, bring it over to the left brain and digest it and process it. That's what mm-hmm. it's all about. So you can use tactile stimulation. I have my music with bilateral sounds. There's other music with bilateral. And that's a full day of healing trauma and connecting with your loved one. I learned through doing that and through doing EMDR as a specialist that just the bilateral, even with interventions, can take a long time. It can take a long time. You know, it can take hours to clear it. Once I added the pressure points, like holding different pressure points on the body that open up those dams and let the river flow, those energy rivers. Once I added that, I could say to every person that I meet now, if we're working together, once we get to the core of what we're working, so we bring it down much quicker once we can release those blockages. So energy psychology that deals with holding pressure points and moving the energy combined with EMDR, I think it's like a marriage made in heaven because that's what helps things move more quickly. So I can help people release trauma in a half an hour, 45 minutes. But there's still, you know, there's the talking about it, there's the understanding about it, and there's the shifting of it, and the home healing is all really important.
Wow, that's amazing. So I know everybody's different, but how many sessions does it usually take to start seeing some results when people are working with you?
Honestly, if we're resonating together, one session does wonders. You know, it depends on complications in trauma, how many series of trauma someone has. Let's put it this way. For a child who has a home life that's not traumatic, you know, two nurturing parents, you know, the ideal, suffers a trauma, car accident or a bullying or something like that happens, one session. Mm. That child's done, you know, there's no complications with it. It's able to clear and reprocess and get that child, wow, as long as they're old enough to, you know, seven,
right,
eight.
Right. Yeah.
But even, you know, I've worked with 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds with no words and been able to help them through their parents working with them, putting them on their lap and doing the work with them.
Hmm.
So yeah, children move very quickly. If you have complicated trauma and a life of abuse and neglect or, you know, all kinds of things that have happened in even in a teenager's life, it takes a little longer. Of course it takes longer. I think on the average for an adult who's, you know, had a life of trauma, on the average about a year in therapy, they're pretty well completely healed. But if you're coming in for a single incident and, you know, losing a child is not just, you know, that's a complicated trauma in itself, but right, we have other things underneath it. But within a session or two, you will feel so much better. There's like a load just lifted off.
Mm-hmm. So
I have a lot of testimonials to share that it's the science behind it. It's the spiritual beliefs and the not just beliefs, but the open-mindedness, the spiritual truth, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
Spiritual truth behind it. So when we realize we're spirit and we can move things very quickly in spirit, it's our mind and our body that gets in the way. Right?
Yeah. I think you make an excellent point. I mean, the thing is, especially when you start talking about yoga, I know for some people they think, oh, religion. This is a faith-based thing. It's something you have to believe. Even talking about us being spirit, for a lot of people, they think that's a religious belief.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not a religious belief at all. It's something that can be shown by evidence, you know.
So I think
it's really important that you bring that up. And I think it's great for parents, hopefully people hearing this, to know that there is hope to get through the trauma. Yeah. But if you're dealing with complicated grief, if you're dealing with deeply seated trauma, it doesn't just go away. And the whole thing, time heals all wounds, is not true when it comes to trauma, right?
true when it comes to trauma, because it's going to be that cog in the wheel that's always there until it's lifted. And, you know, when you said earlier, where do we start? And I said with yourself, physically, you know, we live in a physical body. So traumatized people don't think about drinking enough water, taking their minerals, and things like that. You know, our bones can degenerate without enough water. It makes them dry. And without the minerals, potassium, calcium, magnesium in particular, and just even liquid minerals, putting it in your water or putting it under your tongue. We need this to stay grounded and to stay healthy. You know, a lot of us don't want to be healthy, don't care about our health, but we're here. Yeah. We're here. If we're here, we still have a purpose to live. And one of the things that, you know, I've learned, having been a person who said, stop the planet, I want to get off, too many times through my childhood and adulthood, I accept I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. And I don't like it many times. I'd rather be home. I really would. I'm here for a purpose. We're all here for a purpose. And I was saying this morning to this parent, when we've never had a spiritual belief or thought about an afterlife, it's more shock than ever. It's harder to get through.
Right.
Once we get that evidence, once we have that dream visit, once we're able to be at peace and hear our loved one and then listen to others or go to a medium and definitely the evidence comes through that our loved one is there. Once that happens in our heart, you know, we get a little more hope, like you said, a little more hope and a little more, I'm not going to say joy at this point, but there is a peace that comes that we know, when we know our child's okay, first of all. Mm-hmm. Once we want to know, once Irene knew Carly was okay, she was okay. Once she really got that evidence.
Yeah.
So when I talk about peace, I want to share something with everybody. Our mental body is the one that gets stunted first. Physically, we need the water, the vitamins, the minerals, some sustenance to keep our body grounded and healthy so we can survive and be able to find that peace we're looking for. And I love, you know, Jesus's words. I grew up Catholic, but you know, I love Buddha, I love Krishna, I love, you know, all the masters, because they all said the same thing.
Mm-hmm. They did.
It's all love. It's all about love and our love connection. Yeah. So, you know, to be in this world, but not of this world, that's Jesus. What a beautiful thing. This is what I'm doing with Shiomi and in this the healing sessions. It's about being in a sacred space, having our container, our soul as our sacred space, and this big light around us that connects us to our child and other loved ones, and be in this world and not of that world where, you know, they're tormenting each other and bullying each other and all that crap that goes on in the worldly lower vibrations. Yeah. So my meditation, the energy centering meditation, uses pressure points to help us get into this peaceful state. The most important one is right here. Now I'm opposite you, but if you take your right hand and put it over your chest like this, like you're pledging alignment to your higher self, you rub up to your left shoulder and down. And that area, it'll feel sore. When you're traumatized, it'll feel sore. When you're upset, usually, or if your mental body's stuck, it'll be sore. You start moving it a little bit. Would you do it with me? Go this way. Take your right hand. Feel the sore spot. Can you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Good. You're doing it correctly. Up to the left shoulder and down a few times.
Okay.
It starts pumping your blood. Your circulatory system starts moving. Your lymph system, it starts moving the lymph system. All the energy starts moving. And then amazingly, the mental body starts moving. The energy starts moving around you in a positive direction. So one of my affirmations is, help me stay peaceful, even if I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Even if I'm devastated, even if I'm agonizing and in all this anguish, help me remember I'm not my body. I'm not these emotions. I'm not these feelings. So no matter what anyone else thinks, says, or does, I'm uniquely me. I am the soul. I am this eternal soul. Mm-hmm. And instead of helping you physically, mentally, and spiritually, I should say physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, because we have a physical body, an ethereal body around it that you can kind of see in the dark light. You know, when you squint, you can kind of see people's auric little a line around their physical body. Hmm. That's the ethereal body that helps the energy go in and out. If you really open up that third eye, you may see the emotional body, which is next around the ethereal body. Then the mental body. So as far as my arms are reaching now, my mental body is there. Your mental body's out there.
Okay.
It's the mind field. Like a mind field, we get charged with thoughts. It's the thought field. And that's where we get bombarded with thoughts.
Hmm.
And when we're traumatized, we attract all those negative thoughts too. And it's not even our thoughts sometimes. It's other people's thoughts. And we're all in this mud puddle. So doing this helps clear the mud puddle. Breathing deeply, just rubbing the sore spot. And going into a sacred space of your auric field of heaven. You know, you're raising your vibration and more able to see intuitively, feel, hear, smell, taste those heavenly vibrations. This person this morning actually smelled their loved one and felt their loved one for the first time.
I've heard of people doing that through EMDR sessions and through your Xiaomi type. And it's just, I've heard it's just truly amazing. As you said, even one session can clear that trauma. It doesn't get rid of all the sadness. It doesn't make your life, you know, perfect. You don't walk out a happy person necessarily. But that feeling, that overwhelming feeling you have when you have that thought that comes back. And I had that, and I worked with a guy through a different type of technique, but a desensitization. So I still, of course, have the memory, but I don't have the emotion attached to it the way I did, because I would wake up and I would have this thought, and it was like someone had punched me in the stomach, literally punched me in the stomach. Right. I would just sit up in bed and, you know, out of breath.
Right.
And that's the trauma. That's what we can get over.
That punch to the gut. Exactly. That shock and lock that doesn't go away. When that lifts, even if we're not happy, and we're not going to be happy ever about it, don't think we're here or any therapist can say, you know, get over it. You know, that's horrible. And we're never going to get over it, because we're always going to be human and have the desire to have our physical presence with us. However, when that lifts, when that heaviness lifts, like you said, and we're desensitized to a point where we can find peace, even if we're not happy, as long as we have peace, we're going to have our health. Peace of mind being in is a positive state. I didn't realize this till I muscle tested and dowsed that peace is a positive energy.
Hmm.
Let me repeat that. Mm-hmm. Peace is a positive energy. So as long as we're peaceful, we can stay healthy.
Yeah.
But if we're in an emotional state, a constant emotional state, it's going to wear us away, and we're going to suffer with ill health too.
Yeah.
That's
and like you said, you know, I have to admit there was a point where I was like, I didn't care about my health, right? I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about anything. But if we're going to be here, we might as well be healthy. So as long as I'm here, I don't want to suffer any more than I have to.
And right.
By not taking care of my health, I'm just going to suffer more.
Right.
So there's really no point to that.
Right. After Carly transitioned and I was on go, 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 go. And shortly after we moved from New Jersey to Vermont, well, it's a series of, you know, time, because we moved in 2018. So it's only, you know, it was five years.
Mm-hmm.
However, during that time, I just rushed into work mode. You know, I got to do. I saw clients more than I ever did, from 10 in the morning until 10 at night sometimes, with a couple little breaks during the day. I just went, you know, between helping my sister and then helping others and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then we moved, and then we went to the conference. You met me for the first time, and I loved our first meeting and that interesting coin that came from my purse, that 2 cent coin. What do we call that? An A-port?
Yeah. Yeah. A-port. Yeah. A-port.
You know, it was just such an intense time of everything wonderful that was happening. And what happened to me? I fell. I was stopped short in my track, and I realized it happened for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it took a little while to get why it happened, but I would have continued with that go, 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 and not slowing down. And that happens too. We just either immerse ourselves in stuff and just, you know, 24/7 going, and we run out of steam.
Yeah. And then we get that tap on the shoulder that says it's time to slow down, right?
Yeah. And find peace. But what another interesting thing I learned going to an acupuncturist for my injury, something I never knew, it's always expanded, but she told me my extraordinary meridians were all twisted. Do you know what extraordinary meridians are?
No idea, no.
Neither did I. I thought we had those 12 meridians and 2 vessels and 7 chakras and our 8th chakra, and that was it. You know, I pretty much thought I knew. And here she is telling me that our auric field has meridians in it also. The whole field. And I didn't know that, but I did go into her saying, I feel all twisted. I just feel, no matter what I do with my own work, I still feel all twisted up. Oh, your ordinary meridians are twisted. Well, I didn't know how to work on that, but she did with acupuncture.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And it was very helpful. She helped me more emotionally than a therapist did in my trauma recovery. So be open to all realms that come to you for reasons, because someone has a gift for you. If they're coming to you, if you're asking for help, and ask for help when you need it, even just mentally, you know, help me, you know, just send me who I need. And that person will appear.
Yeah. And be on the lookout for it and be open to it. Yeah.
Look at and be open for it. So repair and reattachment grief therapy was specifically made for helping us connect with our loved one. So it's a talk about evidence. You know, there's no greater evidence, even though mediums are wonderful and we go to them. Mm-hmm. When you have a full day of repair work to clear the trauma, in the end, the last part of the session, I can always feel the energy rise really high. I can hear the whir, and that's when the connection happens, and people connect with their loved one in that other dimension, because we're raising our frequency. They're doing what they need to connect with our frequency, and whether they're getting help or they're, you know, can do it themselves. It's going on the other side, the way it's supposed to help that connection. So people don't normally have a visual connection, although some do. Most of the connections are hearing, listening, getting information that they had no idea, you know, in themselves where this information is coming from, knowing it's coming from their loved one. So connections do happen, and it's a wonderful full day of healing for anybody who's traumatized in bereavement.
Wow. Well, Judy, I'm glad this was worked out today. It's been fascinating talking to you, and the way you put together these different modalities into this package sounds like it's wonderful. And I'm sure people want to reach out to you. So I want to go over your contact information again. It's shiomi.com, and we've spelled Shiomi before, but it's shiomi.com, judithhancocks.com, and it's Hancock with an X. And whitewolfcenter.net. So people can reach out to you that way?
Yes. Well, mainly through judithhancocks.com for bereavement specifically, because that website I set up after Carly transitioned.
Okay. So judithhancocks.com is where people should go.
For bereavement. But shiomi.com is, it's being worked on now, my website, but it's all about trauma recovery, all kinds of trauma recovery, including bereavement. But it's... you know, where the therapy came from, what Shiomi is, and how I use the different modalities. But any of those modalities can help. As you know, you had EMDR. It's a fascinating experience of processing bilateral.
I haven't done EMDR. Actually, I would like to try that at some point. No, I haven't done that. I worked with a guy. It was, I don't even know if he had a name for the technique that we used, but it was he'd have me imagine the scene and then play it back and then play it backwards and play it in black and white and play it fast forward. I'm not sure exactly how it all worked, but every time I did that, it got a little bit less traumatic when I thought about that scene. And it was really helpful. So I can say these techniques definitely work. EMDR, I've heard nothing but great things about them.
Right, because it's specifically for trauma recovery.
Yeah.
The protocol that I adhere to, you need to adhere to the protocol. Mm-hmm. And then you have the luxury as a therapist who's experienced into weaving in your own methods with it. But EMDR is definitely the substance to help process and clear that horrible thought and memory. I mean, that's one of the important things to know too, that picture that you think is never going to go away transmutes to a different picture.
Yeah.
It does dissolve. Sometimes you can't even bring up the thought you had before, even when you try to. It's that powerful. So along with the energy work, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. And the essential oils, again, to raise the frequency is a beautiful thing. So.
Well, very good. Well, thanks, Judy. Really appreciate it. And I'll put links in the show notes if people didn't catch the websites, and people can reach out to you just directly through your website.
Right. And they can write to judith.appointments@gmail.com for any questions. And if there's anything from this meeting that they want more information or explain a little better, if I haven't done too well.
No, you've done a great job. You've done a really good job explaining it. And I've known you now for, I guess, almost 2 years. And I've learned a lot myself just about your whole toolkit. And it's really impressive.
Yeah. I thank God for guiding me, you know, and all my helpers and all my guides and teachers, because there's so many brilliant people out there. It's amazing. So if you open yourself up, yes, there is help. And yes, you will see your loved one here or there, but hopefully here, you know. Yeah. We don't wait till there.
I know you and Irene have a really strong connection with Carly, you know, even now. So it doesn't have to be. We don't have to wait until we, you know, cross over.
Nope, we don't.
All right, Judy. Well, great. You have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too, Brian.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to Grief to Growth. Brian hopes that you find this episode helpful and will come back for future episodes. Brian's best-selling book, Grief to Growth, Planted, Not Buried, is a great resource for anyone who is coping with grief or know someone who is. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to support it, there are 3 things you can do to help. The first is to share the podcast with someone that you think it will help. The second is to go to iTunes, rate, and review the episode. The third way you can support the podcast is by becoming a patron. Head over to www.patreon.com/grief2growth. That's patreon.com/grief, 2, growth, and sign up to make a small monthly donation. Patrons get access to exclusive bonus content and knowledge that you are helping to spread the message of grief to growth. For more about Brian and Grief to Growth, visit www.grief2growth.com.
Hey there, if you liked this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you liked. If you didn't like this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you didn't like. Go to grieftogrowth.com/community and look for Talk About the Podcast. I'll see you there.